Hello, everyone. This is Alexandra from Live Well Long, and today I have a special guest, Jamie Atkinson, who has traveled the world for 18 months and is host of the podcast Entrepreneur Junkie Movement. And his goal with that is to share the ins and outs, the ups and downs of the entrepreneurial life. So stay tuned. After our break, we'll get right into the interview with Jamie. Hey everyone, so now I'm going to be interviewing Jamie Atkinson of the Entrepreneurial Junkie Movement, who has traveled the world for 18 months, and that is so cool. And he's been figuring out the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, and he has a weekly podcast where he's guiding others on the entrepreneurial journey. So without further rambling on, here's Jamie Atkinson. Welcome, Jamie.
Hey, Alex, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, awesome. Awesome to have you. Awesome to have you. So tell our listeners a little bit about your background, like where you've been, what inspired you to just travel the world for 18 months and how that went, where you went. Love
sure.
to hear it.
Yeah, well, you know what? I listen to a lot of these podcasts, and sometimes I hear these speakers, and it kind of feels like where I'm at right now and where they are is like a massive gap, right? A million miles away. But just to kind of help anybody that's listening, you know, only 18 months ago, I was probably in exactly the same position as you guys. You know, I was working in a 9-to-5 job. I was a kind of a career junkie, always focused on trying to, you know, do better, to move up the ranks, to get promotions. But I was just like not living my life. I was working 6-day weeks. I was, you know, working from 7 in the morning till 8 p.m. at night. And I was just constantly on the grind. You know, I would go and visit my parents on a Sunday and things like that. And I'd get there and I'd speak to them for 20 minutes and pass out on the couch. Mm-hmm. And it was just a thing that kind of happened, you know. Everybody was like, well, that's just Jamie. That's just the way he is, right? But the whole time, you know, I was going through these motions and I was telling myself, you know, I had these kind of beliefs that it's all for the greater good, right? I'm going to be working hard now so that I can get a nice place and live a great life. And, you know, it was just always the way it was for me. I didn't go to college. My focus was always on straight into work and work as hard as I could. But, you know, after a while, In fact, I can remember the exact moment that my mindset kind of thought, well, maybe this is, you know, not the way that I want to be. I was sat, you know, I was working in a different branch. It was about 3 hours away from where I lived. And I'd been there for about a week in a hotel, you know, literally just going and working every day. Mm. And I sat there, and in the span of about 10 days, I decided I was going to go on my first ever solo trip, booked a flight, went to Berlin, went across to Prague, decided when, because I'd met somebody in Berlin and they said, hey, by the way, Oktoberfest's going on. Why don't you come down and see us in Munich? So I, you know, diverted my flight and booked a trip to Munich. Well, I went to this amazing experience where I met all of these crazy people that I just had never experienced anything like it before. And then was back in that exact same chair. And that happened all in the span of 10 days. So I have this like whirlwind experience of like a week and a half. And I get back into that chair and I said to myself, wow, I can't wait to do that in another 355 days. This light bulb went up in my head and I was like, oh my God, that's so messed up. Like that. How can I live that way? That's not going to be it, right? So, you know, that very moment I sat there in the desk, I remember because it was a kind of a quiet day. There was this kind of low hum of this AC above and my legs were jittering underneath as I was literally consumed with this travel bug right there and then. Uh-huh. And I Googled, you know, I typed in how to make money while traveling. And I looked through a couple of these entries and I stumbled across this guy's blog. And it's a guy called Sean Ogle. And he had this post, which was like the 17 ways in which you can make money while traveling the world. And happened? Yeah, it was kind of crazy. And what happened was I started a blog. And, you know, 6 months of doing that, it was this blog. And this was about 2.5 years ago that this first happened. Uh-huh. So I started this blog and I was doing that for about 6 months. But like, everything always happens when you have this beautiful, amazing new idea. It kind of got sidelined because I got straight back into doing more work again. So I kind of played with it for a little bit.
You mean then, working for someone else while you were doing the blog?
Exactly. Yeah. So okay. I started the blog, you know, I was exploring all these ideas. It's the first time I'd ever really looked at anything in the online space. So it was all uh-huh. brand new to me. Right. And, you know, I was doing it, but then I was only doing it, you know, every couple of weeks. And I wasn't really all in, you know, I was still really focusing on my career. And that was always my, you know, my plan A. And right. this was just kind of like the background, almost like a plan B. And right. then, you know, this, I had this very, very weird and surreal experience that happened. And about 9 months after that, I was in my job, and an opportunity came up. They said, "Hey, do you want to come and, move to this store here? It's an inner city store in the middle of Birmingham. Very, very difficult store to run because it's very multi-ethnic, lots of different cultures. I think they
Right.
speak something like
And
nine
just
languages."
if I could just
That store.
interrupt a second, just for
Yeah,
our
of course.
listeners, Birmingham in the UK.
Yes, not in
Okay.
Alabama.
Okay. So for
Because
our
I'm from
listeners'
England.
benefit.
Yeah,
Yes.
exactly. So, but it was a very difficult store to go into because there was lots of different languages spoke. But I was up for it. I was like, right, let's do it. So I moved to the store. I go for this big promotion, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, my sister gets cancer, which is
Oh.
absolutely crazy, right?
Oh,
And
yeah.
it was weird because it was kidney cancer. She was 29. And her, all the doctors were saying, "Well, this is really bizarre because we haven't ever seen this kind of cancer in anybody that was under 60." So, this was going on with my family. My dad was on the phone with me all the time. He was really upset. It was a really
Sure.
kind of tough point in our lives. By the
Right.
way, I'll preface this by saying my sister is now okay. So
Oh, good, good,
she
good.
had a
Good,
kidney
good,
removed.
good.
She's okay now.
Oh,
But
good.
at the time, it was crazy, right? So I was trying to do this new promotion. There was all of this crazy stuff going on at home. And I couldn't so much as speak to a customer properly, let alone run a brand new sales team. So,
Right, yeah.
I took my boss to my side and I said, "Look, this is the situation. This is what's happened. I really am not comfortable in this brand new position. I need to go back to my old store where I've got my support network around me, of people that
Right.
love me and support me. And then maybe we can try this move further down the line."
Yeah.
And what happened was, he said to me, he sat me down and he said, "Let me just tell you straight, you either do this promotion, or if you go back to that other store, you'll go back as a salesman and you'll never be a manager in this company again."
Oh,
And
ow.
in
Ouch.
that moment, I just realized that, I've been jumping through these hoops for years. It's always been the carrot and the ever-moving goalposts of, do this and do this, and you'll become a manager and you'll have this and you'll have all the success. And
Right.
then in this moment, I realized, like, you don't care about me, you're just a corporation. And
Right.
it hit me in the face. And I said to him there and then, I said, "I'll take the sales job and I'll be gone in 2 months." And what
Yeah.
happened was, in that moment, I realized that I could no longer just carry on doing this thing. Because what would happen is I'd get a job which paid me so well that I felt like I couldn't walk away from it. And in that situation, I'd be there for the rest of my life. And
We
that
call that golden handcuffs, right?
exactly right, golden handcuffs, and I wasn't
Right.
far away from them. It was close, and so what happened was I went back, I started to relook at my blog, and then 3 days later, I kid you not, I get an email that comes through from the Sean Ogle guy, who was the first blog guy that I ever met, and
Yeah.
he said, "Hey, by the way, there's something called the Paradise Pack that we're releasing." And the Paradise Pack was this collaboration of 30 different entrepreneurs. They'd all come together for like a 90% off discount. And I think it was like $500 or something like that for this
Right.
pack. And at the time, I'd never really invested in myself when it comes to courses or anything like that. So it was
Okay.
kind of a big deal. But I
Yeah.
thought, you know what? I'm going to take the jump. And I took that course. I followed exactly what was inside there. And within literally 100 days, I quit my job. I'd sold everything I owned. Everything was in a backpack. And I decided, right, I'm going to go and travel. And then the
Nice.
journey kind of really started to take off from there. And that was kind of the
Okay.
origin of how I first, decided to leave my
Took the
job.
leap. Yeah, very good. Very cool. So, where did you go? Where were some of the places you went?
So first of all, I did a little road trip with some friends around Germany and Austria. That was a lot of fun. Then we went to Croatia. I actually spent a month in New York, which was great. And I had managed to stay with a lot of friends. So I spent the whole month for less than $1,000. And then after that,
Nice.
I went to Thailand, and that's really where I was made in Thailand. And that's when
Oh.
things started to really kind of ramp up. But this whole time, it sounds like an amazing story, but just to be real honest and vulnerable with people, because one of the things that I'm trying to do more of with my podcast is talk about how, the reality of entrepreneurship, that sounds like a really impressive story. But the whole time, there was a whole lot of fear, doubt, worry, pressure from people. A lot of people were
Right.
telling me, "What are you doing? You're throwing this away. You spent 5 years building up this kind of trust within this company." And it's kind of scary to take that leap. And it does require a leap to be able to get into that position. And
Yeah.
I was kind of forced really in that position because I knew I had to
Right.
make a change.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I was terrified. Like, I didn't have any idea about what I was going to do. I just knew that I wanted to, instead of, living my whole life and getting to 65 and then retiring and going somewhere in the sun, I'm like, well, isn't there a way I can do this while, living? And it
Right.
turns out that it's actually cheaper to live abroad and live a luxurious lifestyle in Thailand than it is to live a regular lifestyle in the UK or in some places in the US. It's kind of crazy how the difference in the money, you can actually
Right.
live that kind of lifestyle you dream of for when you retire as a, and we kind
As
of
an
coined it,
expat, yeah.
yeah, we coined it in my house, as the millionaire lifestyle. Because when I said to my dad, I was like, "Hey, what's a millionaire look like to you?" And he's like, "Well, sipping cocktails on the beach with, a
Right.
nice, a nice breeze." And I'm like, "Well, that's basically what we're living right now. It's the millionaire lifestyle."
Very cool, very cool. So, do you have like an idea of where you would like put down your roots
Well,
since you've
this
been
is,
traveling around? Is it
yes.
Thailand or?
This is difficult right now because my girlfriend, I actually met her in Thailand, but she's American and we're in Philadelphia right now. But
Okay.
because we both have different countries, we have a hard time with visas. So it's hard to say where we're actually going to set down. Maybe when we get married, we'll be able to pick a little bit easier. But right now, we definitely are liking the kind of location independent lifestyle, which is
Yeah.
a lot of fun.
Very cool, very cool. So where are you heading next? Do you know?
So we're here for another month, and then in April we head to Bali for 2 months. So we're going to go there for
Oh,
60
beautiful. I've heard
days.
nice things about Bali.
Yeah. Then we have a house sit in South Korea after that, and that's for 3 months in Seoul. So that's going to be nice too.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And you found the Wi-Fi to be fine wherever you go so far.
Yeah. So it's ironic actually, but the Wi-Fi in all of Asia is far superior to anywhere in the US or the UK. It's so fast. Yeah,
Really?
you can get 300 megabyte download speed in most places if you go into the right place. It's crazy, really.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. So tell me about your podcast. The podcast is called The Entrepreneurial Junkie Movement.
Yeah, exactly. Entrepreneur Junkie Movement is basically because what I just told you guys there about is kind of like my origin story, right? That was 18 months ago when I first left, and since then I've been pretty much figuring out how to operate as a business because I didn't have an idea of what business I wanted to run. I started off actually freelance writing. That's what I first did to make money online, and I was earning around about $800 to $1,000 a month that way. But eventually I decided I was going to create some businesses, and I started a couple of courses and then ended up doing a Pinterest agency. But very quickly I realized, when you create these courses and products and services, things can go upside down very fast. I quickly grew to like five clients, which was $10,000 a month. And then, an algorithm update came out and I lost all of those clients and was back to zero. So there was lots of that ups and downs. But one thing I noticed in that time is that there wasn't really that many entrepreneurs that you could see online who were telling the truth about all of this failure that happens, right? So I was having, 70 or 80% of my time was felt like I was fighting fires and battling with this failure and really trying to get my mindset right, because it's so hard every day when you're facing these challenges to rise above it and stay positive. And I felt like, out of a pride point of view, I had to have, on my Instagram page, it had to be looked like I was being successful, because all my friends back home would be thinking, "Well, he quit his job, and oh, looks
What's
like he's
happening
having
now?
success," right? So there was a whole lot of, just celebrating the 1% of successes and hiding the rest of it. And I noticed this is a trend, and certainly this year, I went to Funnel Hacking Live this year. I met a ton of amazing humans and entrepreneurs who really are very, very honest and very, true to themselves in the way that they are. And I listened to a speech by Nicholas Biley on stage, and he talked about your mess being your message. And it really resonated with me because I thought, well, the truth is, everybody goes through shit, right? Everybody has troubles, and no more so than entrepreneurs. They seem to have the biggest amount of problems that you could see in the world. But the trick is kind of accepting it. The most success I've had recently has been when I've realized that failing isn't a bad thing. It's okay to fail, and it's also okay to share that with the people that you love and with your audience. So the whole idea behind the Entrepreneur Junkie Movement was I wanted to talk to entrepreneurs and really hear the real story. So not just so much about what you've done that was successful, but what sucked, what was difficult, what were some of the challenges you faced along the way?
Got it.
Because there's a lot of people out there. I was following people like Gary Vee and Russell Brunson, and Russell Brunson is good because he does share a lot of the challenges. But I was listening to a lot of the entrepreneurs who are like 20 years in, right? And I was comparing their success to my 6 months in. And that was very
Yeah,
difficult,
right. Yeah.
right?
It's rough to
Because
do that.
they're putting out content everywhere and they're doing everything and they've got a team and some guy who follows you around with a video camera. And I was trying to do that level of expertise and I just wasn't there yet. So now, I think it's good to actually share the stories of entrepreneurs who are just starting. I speak to a lot of people who've been just in the business a couple of years, and that's the kind of people I like to bring on my podcast because
Beautiful.
the audience that's listening, and you might find this with your audience, when you're just starting to explore how you want to live your life and you want to live well and you want to live a little bit differently, it's no good looking at someone who earned $1 million and retired and is living the happy life in California on a beach, right? You have to look at the people who are most similar to you and the kind of person that you can follow their journey and almost walk in their footsteps. But if their footsteps look like golden footsteps and what you don't see is the cracks all around it as you climb up this staircase, then you're going to fall down the staircase and you're going to think, wow, this
What's
isn't
wrong with
working for me.
me,
What's
right?
wrong with me, right?
Yes.
But the reality is it's nothing that's wrong with you. It's just that that person hasn't shared, all of the hardships. So that's really what the whole movement is about sharing all
Excellent.
that. Because I
Excellent.
think then, when people realize that when they make a mistake, it's not them, that's just normal, there's going to be more people who aren't going to give up. They're going to be able to persevere through it,
Right. This is just part of the journey and it's failing forward. Yeah.
Yes,
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
100%.
Excellent. Very cool. Very cool. So it's called the Entrepreneurial Junkie Movement and it's a weekly podcast.
Yeah, so I've put together a couple of episodes to get started. So there's about 4 episodes that people can binge through there. We might actually do more than once a week, but I'm committing to do it every Monday. So, if people are on the
Good.
way to work, they can boot it up and listen to it every morning.
Excellent. 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 Very cool. And then you'll be able to podcast from wherever you are, whether it's Philadelphia or Thailand or
Yeah,
anywhere in
which
between.
might be exciting because I didn't realize, but a lot of entrepreneurs are all over the world. So I might even be able to get a chance to sit down with a couple of them in some pretty cool locations and share some cool stuff that's going on.
And even for yourself, sharing, okay, I just arrived in Thailand and this is how we're hooking up to the Wi-Fi and these are the challenges. This is the easy stuff. This is what makes it better than the US or the UK or wherever.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't necessarily think one is better than the other, but definitely what's interesting is that when I speak to a lot of people who are just getting started in this game, if they're earning, let's say, $5,000 a month right now, their mindset is I have to earn $5,000 before I can leave my job. And a lot of it comes down to where we found the most happiness in our life is actually been from being a lot more minimalist. I was very materialistic before. I had everything from the latest TV to a nice car, nice watch, all that kind of stuff, right? And it was just because I was unhappy in my job and I felt like I had to justify my job with those
Fill
purchases.
up that empty hole in your heart with stuff.
Exactly, right? But once I started to get rid of a lot of things, we did a minimalist challenge where every day for 30 days we got rid of one thing, then two things, then three things every day. So, by day, 25, you're getting rid of 25 things you own every single day. And that's kind of crazy. But what we started to realize was when we got rid of stuff, it actually made us feel better. We didn't have all of this kind of weight on us. We made a ton of money from selling all the stuff that we didn't need anymore. And that actually helped fund a lot of the travels. But once you actually cut down on all the things you have and the things you don't necessarily need, you start to realize that, well, actually, I don't need to work 9 hours a day. I have a lot of friends now who don't necessarily want to earn $1 million, but they live a very modest life in places like Thailand, traveling all around Europe, living amazing lives, and they're only earning $1,200 a month, and they work a couple hours a day, if that.
That's
And that's
great.
actually a really nice shift because you don't have to necessarily go to that high level. You can live a more modest lifestyle and actually do the things that you want to do. One of my friends, he loves reading. So he'll work a couple hours in the morning and he'll go and spend the afternoon reading on a beach somewhere, which, in a regular job, you wouldn't have time, right? But when you have time, you can start to realize, well, what do I really love to do? Is it riding horses on the beach? Is it going painting? Is it getting massages 3 times a day, like my girlfriend, and eating amazing food? That's what she loves. It's all about the food and the massages, But you can really start to figure that out when you get a bit more minimalist in the way that you live.
Now, one of the questions that some of our listeners might have is like, okay, what about if they have, a family, you're starting a family, have young children or older children? Have you come across people that are doing this lifestyle and have children that are maybe they're
Oh yeah,
homeschooling, maybe
and
they're in English speaking schools or whatever?
And it's going to be a lot more difficult when you've got kids and a family, right? Everyone might look at this and go, well, you're, you know, 26 and you, oh, 27 now. Oh, I'm getting old. You know, they might say you can just go and you can up and leave because you don't have commitments, right? Well, you know, we have commitments, but not as much as if you've got a family. But there's a whole community of people out there who are doing just this with kids. You know, I met a bunch of people who they do the RV life around the US. And actually when my girlfriend grew up, they did just that. You know, the family would go in an RV. They would do a trip around the States for, you know, 12 weeks at a time. And that was great. One of my very good friends, Travis, and that's the guy that actually created the Paradise Pack, which I'm actually getting featured in this year, which is amazing to come full circle. But he's got a 1-year-old. He's got another child on the way and they still travel full time. So, you know, they're completely able to do that. He actually has a website called An Extra Pack of Peanuts and he blogs about that quite a lot. So if anybody is on here with a young child and is wondering how you can do that, you know, if you type in Travis Sherry into Google, he's got some great content about how they're coping with it.
I think it's always like,
you know, there's ways around it. Like my mum right now, for example, she's like, oh, well, I would love to do that, but we have the big house and we have the big mortgage, you know, but they've got a 5-bedroom house because they used to have all the kids at home and now they don't
need it now. Yeah.
And I said to her, well, you could free yourself up very easily just by Airbnb being the rooms. You could have an Airbnb, you could pay somebody to manage it, and you'll actually be making money from your house while you're away, and you don't have to worry about, you know, being there. So there's always, I think, a solution. I think sometimes what we do, though, and, you know, it's easy when you have less commitments, but we use that as an excuse. You know, our belief is, I can't do that because I've got kids. I can't do that because I've got a house. I can't do that because I've got a mortgage. I can't do it because of my job. And you just have to get out of that mindset. You know, there was one of my friends who said, you know, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. I'm a sales guy. That's the way I work. This doesn't work for me. And actually he now, after speaking to him for a while, has got a remote sales job. He works for a company online that sells courses. And every morning he is on his phone for 2 hours and that's it. And he makes a great living doing that, you know? So whatever job you're in, you know, the big thing nowadays, I think, is everybody is shifting to a more remote lifestyle, even if it's just working from home to have that better kind of family time with them. You know, not everybody wants to travel, but I think a lot of people do appreciate extra time in their life. And that's
one of the things I did. Excuse me one second. When my husband passed away in 91 and I had 3 small boys. And one of the things I did soon after he passed away was I bought a 21-foot RV, Class C. So it was had a Toyota pickup truck was the chassis. And then they had the Class C. So there was a bed over the cab. But anyways, we traveled somewhat. I took the kids out of school. And I told the teachers, you know, we're going to be gone for 2 weeks. The teachers would give us. So it was like a hybrid of homeschooling because I didn't really want the full responsibility and the teachers were cool with it. And so they did assignments from the road, not as much as if they had been in school, but I kind of morphed the experience. So it was fun.
Possible, right? You can adapt. You can get it there. And I think the biggest thing that holds people back, it isn't the tools. It isn't, you know, the fact that they can't do it. It isn't, there's no opportunity. The biggest
thing. Exactly.
It's our false beliefs. And the trouble with a false belief is you don't know it's false because you believe it. It's like, no, that's not a false belief. That's my belief. So I think the first step anyone can take is really to just start to think about, you know, what else is possible? What could you do? And then once you start to realize it's possible, you know, Russell Brunson talks about the 4-minute mile with Roger Bannister all the time. No one ever ran a 4-minute mile until he did it. And then suddenly a few weeks later, everybody else started doing it as well.
It's a movement.
If you can realize that it's possible, you know, it all starts to become a lot easier. And that's really, you know, maybe what you're doing and I'm doing is very similar actually in that regard. It's about trying to show people what's possible.
Right. Just start one foot in front of the other and a way is shown. One step at a time, things open up. So it's really cool. Absolutely. Very cool. So how can people find you if they want to learn from you or reach out to you? What's the best way for our listeners to find you?
So if anybody wants to find me, you can actually go to iTunes and search for Entrepreneur Junkie Movement. You'll be able to find me inside there. But actually, Alex, I wanted to give something away to any of your listeners who are listening to this for something for free. So if they want to get this for free, it's basically my Product Launch Secrets, which is a course that I created back in October. And it actually teaches people how they can make a product really fast within 21 days and launch it. But the idea is that you don't create the product first. You find out if someone wants to buy it first. It's a lot less work. So I want to give that away for free to some of your listeners. So if you want to reach out to that, you can get it at entrepreneurjunkie.co/freebie. And that's also the website where you can check out on the latest stuff from the podcast as well. So anybody that's listening to this, I really appreciate your time as well. Obviously, make sure you keep listening to this podcast because I think it's awesome. I listened to a couple of your previous episodes, really the style and the way that you're talking about it. So thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. And so once again, for our listeners, say the way to reach you again for the product
entrepreneur,
launch.
It's entrepreneurjunkie.co/freebie. And that junkie is spelled J-U-N-K-I-E. Maybe we can put a link in the show notes or something.
Yes. Sounds great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure our listeners are going to love this, and I'll bet you're going to get bombarded with requests, which is exactly what we want.
That'll be great.
Awesome. So you have an awesome day, and thank you so much for the podcast.
Thanks, Alex. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This is Alexandra with Live Well Long. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our important episodes. We want to be sure that you get everything you can to do your best to live well long. Feel free to reach out to me at alex@avhcoaching.com. And remember to take good care of yourself so that you live well long. Talk with you soon. Bye.